We're going to be in Luke, the 13th chapter. You start reading here in the 10th verse. Don't you hate it? And I know it's happened to you because it's happened to me before. And there's nothing special about me. But when you are trying to do something good, you're trying to do something significant, you're trying to make a difference, and somebody comes along and says, you can't do it that way. That's the wrong way to do it. A bunch of busybodies who want to criticize everything we try to do. They can't do anything for themselves because they're too busy criticizing what other people are trying to do. You've seen people like that. You know people like that who want to just squash everything we try to do. We're trying to do something good and right, but they're constantly trying to tell us, you got to do it a different way. You can't do that, you know? Yeah. They don't give any ideas on how to do it. They just say you're doing it wrong. Yogi Berra, who makes the funniest quotes, and he says this thing, and he doesn't realize what he's saying, but it's so truthful, but it makes no sense. He once said, people who are going to be popular are going to be so unpopular.
Yeah, there you go.
And what he means is that when you're trying to do something and you're trying to do the right thing, people are going to find stuff wrong. And that's the situation that we're going to read about today in the scripture verse today. This is a scripture verse where Jesus, who does something good and kind and merciful, is going to be criticized on how he does it. You'll look in Luke, the 13th chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Now he being Jesus. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered, you hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox and your donkey from the manger and lead it to the water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 years, be loosened from the hold on this Sabbath day? And he said these things to all the adversaries who were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Here Jesus is. He sees this woman. She had a bad back. Now, this wasn't a bad back like I had. You know, my back swinges sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to get up. No, this back, she was bent over. Mm-hmm. 18 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Mm-hmm. 18 years she had been that way. Nobody had done anything to help her. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody knew what to do to help her. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus sees her, he has compassion and he healed her. That's what Jesus does. Mm-hmm. That's who Jesus is. That's what he does. He heals us. He heals us emotionally. He heals us spiritually. Mm-hmm. And sometimes He heals us physically. Mm-hmm. When I was studying on this sermon, I went on the internet and I found this woman. True story. It was in the Associated Press, so it must be true. No, it was true. This woman whose head was bent down. Some rare disease that she had, and her chin was almost on her chest the whole time. She couldn't pick her head up for anything. She couldn't drink except with a straw. She had to eat food that had been chopped up because she couldn't chew meat and stuff like that because she couldn't open her mouth wide enough to do it. She was a recluse. I mean, she couldn't look people in the eye. She couldn't walk across the street because she couldn't see if cars were coming. She was miserable. Famous doctor had found out about her situation. This woman didn't have the money to pay for surgery. But he heard about this woman. It was somewhere in Massachusetts. I don't remember what city. But it wasn't Boston. It wasn't a big city. He called her in and he told her, "I can fix it." He did this radical surgery. I mean, this sounds like something out of the National Enquirer, not Associated Press. But he disconnected her head from her spinal cord. The only thing holding her head on were muscles, major arteries that were running through the brain, those kind of things. He did the corrective surgery and attached it back to her spinal cord. It was a risky surgery, to say the least. I mean, he almost removed her head. But after the surgery, she's able to move her head and her neck almost like you and I can. Not quite as much as that, but she's not like she was before. 2,000 years ago, in Jesus' time, they didn't have doctors doing radical surgeries like that, but that didn't mean they didn't have help. Jesus was there. And Jesus healed this woman. That's what Jesus does. He healed this woman. He healed her then, and He heals people today. You and I, we've been in this church long enough. We know what prayer can do. We've seen what prayer can do. We've seen where situations that only God could intervene and save a life. Science is catching up on to that. Medical science, because they're seeing that there are things that people are recovering from that they cannot explain how that happened, cannot explain why that is, other than by the grace of God. We get that. We understand that. We know that's what Jesus does. He heals us spiritually, emotionally, and sometimes physically. But back in those times, Jesus, when He was doing this beautiful thing that He did, this act of love and kindness, they were critics. Of course, you'll have to understand that most of His critics were because they were jealous of what Jesus was able to do. Jealous of what He said He was going to do and who He said He was. But the critic in this particular story is the ruler of the synagogue that Jesus was there to teach at. He was indignant, is what the scriptures say. He was so mad. He didn't see anything good about this at all. There was nothing good that happened here. He overlooked the fact that this woman was set free. That didn't matter. Jesus broke the rule. He broke the rule. And the rules are more important than anything else. He said, listen, there are 6 days that you can come to be healed. You come any of those days, but don't come to the Sabbath. He was upset because Jesus was breaking the rule of no healing on the Sabbath. Have you ever noticed how many stupid things are done because of the rule?
No.
One of my favorite shows on TV is called Louisville. It's a story about police officers in New York City. In this story, there's a police officer who is at a retirement party for one of his fellow officers. He was retiring, they were throwing a big party for it. They had food, they had drinks, they were at this, it's more like a restaurant, but it looked like a restaurant and a bar together. So they were at this, and there were many officers there. He's off duty. He's there. He celebrates with his friend, and he leaves to walk home. As he's walking home, he walks by a little grocery store that's open 24 hours. He looks in and he sees a man robbing the store. There were two people, customers, that were huddled on the ground, a man and a woman, and they were hysterical, just laying there crying. And he had taken the gun and hit the man that was the owner and pointing the gun and telling him he's going to empty that cash register, he's going to kill him. This police officer could have just walked away. He was off duty. It wasn't his responsibility. But he stopped. He pulled his gun. He went into the store behind the man. The man didn't see him, and he put the gun to the back of his head and said, "You drop that gun, I'm going to blow your head off." The robber panicked, dropped his gun. The officer got him, put handcuffs on him, called 911. Police came. He was bandaging the store owner who had been hit by the gun. Never fired his gun, but he did pull his gun. When the police came, one of the officers, senior officer at the time, was talking to him, and he smelled alcohol in his breath. The rule, an officer may never pull his gun if he's been drinking. It's a good rule. This officer wasn't on duty. He wasn't drinking from a flask in his car. You know, he was simply going home from a party. But the rules were the rules. He could have not gotten in trouble. And maybe these people might have died, and maybe they wouldn't have been enough. But he wasn't going to take that chance. So this senior officer petitioned for this officer to be fired. Come rules. Good rules, but sometimes there's extenuating circumstances to our rules. These religious leaders, they had rules. They had laws. And they were good rules and good laws. This one that we're talking about here today. Not to work on Sabbath, that's a great rule. That's a great law. God God had given us. We'd all wish that nobody had to work on Sunday. We'd have more time to spend in church, more time to be with our family, more time to be with our loved ones, more time to worship God if nobody had to work on Sunday. But we're going to close the hospital. We're going to close the hospitals that are saving people's lives. Are we going to tell the police officers, you don't work on Sunday? What would the criminals do if they knew that the police officers weren't working on Sunday, that they could do whatever they wanted to on Sunday? Listen, of course not. We wouldn't expect that. There are some things more important than rules and regulations. In this story, Jesus healed a woman with a bad day. And because he did, he was criticized for it. But Jesus didn't just sit there and take that criticism. You see what he said to that lady? Now, understand, he is there teaching in the synagogue, but there was the ruler of the synagogue who was like the high priest. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're a hypocrite. You don't care anything about this woman. All you care about are your rules and regulations. You will take your donkey or your ox that's tied to the post and you will take them to get a drink of water. But you begrudge this woman who for 18 years had been struggling with this terrible disease. And all you can say to her is, you should come back some other day." When Jesus performed this miracle, he knew exactly what he was doing. It wasn't a surprise to him that this was the Sabbath. He knew that. He knew the rules. But he is showing you and I something here. This is something that you and I, we need to ingrain it in our hearts and in our minds. Rules are important. But what God really cares about is people. It's important that we keep the rules. Rules are, God gave us his rules so we could live a full and wonderful life. But what God really cares about is not the laws, not the rules, but people. That's what God cares about. Listen, you and I are not perfect. We're going to break the rules. Sometimes we do things downright stupid. It's just stupid. And we break a rule not for some good reason. We break the rule because we're acting stupid. But you know what? It's not the end of the world. We have to pay for our mistakes. True, there's an inevitable law that says you reap what you sow. But it's not the end of the world. There's still hope. There's still forgiveness that comes from God. One of the hardest things for us as people is to learn how to forgive ourselves. Satan has lied to us so much that how bad we are, that he's convinced convinced us that we cannot be forgiven. We can't forgive ourselves, and when we can't forgive ourselves, we can't forgive other people either. But the only time you're ever, only way you're ever going to get to be the person that God intended you to be is when you realize you are forgiven. Tell you a story. When I was a kid, me and my dad sold Fuller Brooks. Well, he sold it. I just kind of tagged him on. We walked, you know, we'd walk the neighborhood. It, a lot of you don't know who Fuller Brooks is, but it sold products. And he would go and take the order. Then he would order it. It would be shipped to him. And then he would take it and deliver it to the houses, and the people would pay for it. And he would pay back the product that he had, and what was left over was the money that he made. We had been working this Saturday, and he had, it was a Saturday where we were delivering the products. So he had collected money. He had to get on the bus to go somewhere over North Dallas, probably the North Dallas Church or some meeting or something. He gave me the envelope. Told me, I want you to take this envelope, go home, put it on the dresser. I stuck it in my back pocket and I was walking home and I came across my friend Ronnie. Me and Ronnie did stupid things. We did. One of the things we love to do, fill up balloons with water and throw them in hit cars. We thought, well, there's no harm in that. You can't hurt that. All they're getting is a car wash, you know. So we convinced ourselves that it was, we would throw the water balloon and hit the car. What we didn't realize, how it scared people. All of a sudden, something just smashes against their window.
Yeah.
And what could happen? You know, we didn't think ahead. We were kids. We just acted stupid, and we'd run and hide and watch the car. We'd laugh when the people got out, and we just thought that was the most fun thing we could do. Well, when I got home, I reached in my back pocket, and you guessed it, that envelope wasn't there.
Uh-oh.
I hadn't done what my dad had told me to do. Mm-mm. He told me to come. I could have taken that home and then back, but that would have been inconvenience. I mean, Ronnie was already there. Couldn't come home and come back. But now I had to face the fact that I had to tell my dad that I had lost all this money. This is money he was going to have to pay back. Before I had talked to him, I went everywhere I could think of. In Ronnie's house, around the bushes, every place we tried to hide, I could not find that envelope. So when my dad got home and he asked for the envelope, I had to tell him. I didn't tell him the whole story. I didn't tell him that I stopped with money to play. I told him that it must have fallen out of my pocket on the way home. Mm. He said, well, did you go back and look for it everywhere that you were at? And I said, man, I did. And I could see how disappointed my father was. But somehow, I had forgotten, or I hadn't remembered that my father's love for me was more than his love for money. That my father's love for me was more than this rule of being responsible. wasn't until years later that I realized that his love for me was beyond what I could even imagine and think about. But you and I, we need to learn that lesson. We need to learn this lesson that God cares more about us than he cares about the rules and the regulations. Mm-hmm. He cares more about us than he cares about anything. The scripture says his love is greater than our sin. God cares. You know, Larry was closed the message last week. God is about mercy. I love studying this lesson this week. I love reading this story. I love how God is all about mercy. That's what I like to talk about. I like to talk about God and his mercy. Mm-hmm. And his forgiveness. It's one of the favorite things I like to preach about. It's not the only thing about God. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I get. It's something I understand. It's something I comprehend. His mercy, his forgiveness. That's something I feel. Mm-hmm. More important than keeping the rules is showing mercy. Someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in all the commandments? In other words, what's the top law of all the laws? What's the biggest rule of all the rules? Mm-hmm. And y'all know what he said. He says, you got to love God with everything you have. But he didn't stop there. Then he said, now you got to love other people. You got to love other people as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to not pay so much attention to the rules and laws and overlook mercy and kindness and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Listen, when I die, when somebody's talking about me, you know what I want them to say about me? I want people to say about me, you know, he cared more about other people than he cared about himself. That's what I want people to say about me. I want them to say that because he had been forgiven so much, he had messed up. Man, you can look at my life and see all the mess ups I've had. And you can say, because he had been forgiven so much, he forgave other people so much. I want them to say that about me. That's the way I want to be defined. Not that I was a great preacher. Not that I was a great anything. I just want them to say he cared more about other people than he cared about himself. Isn't that what you want people to say about you? Isn't that what you want to be thought of? Mm-hmm. That you're a person with kindness and mercy and forgiveness. Only way you're going to do that is to live that. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to say that about you if you're not that way. Mm-hmm. If you hold grudges, if you refuse to forgive people, if you always want to just get even, mm-hmm. that's how people are going to remember you. That's not how you want to be remembered. That's not how God wants to think of you as. Mm-hmm. He wants you to be a person more interested in people, more interested in mercy than you are in rules. Rules are important. Laws are important. This country would be chaos if we didn't have it. But we must put people first. We must. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We see how Jesus reacted to this situation. He saw a need. He didn't care that he was breaking a rule. He didn't care that he was going to be criticized and just looked down upon him, because he saw a need and he met a need. Father, may that be how we react when we see a need. Father, we want to be more like, we say all the time, we want to be more like Jesus, and we need to act more like Jesus. We need to see somebody with a need and meet that need. We want to care more about people than what the rules say. Father, we want to be people of mercy and forgiveness and kindness. We want to be more like Jesus. Father, I just thank you that we see this today, Father, that it's more important to care about people than it is to keep the rules in. Father, I just thank you that because we messed up so much and have made so many mistakes, we need to realize that your love for us is greater than any mistake that we've made. Satan wants to tell us that we've messed up so much that God can't love us anymore. That's not true. God never stops loving us. Just like a father never stops loving a child. Father, I thank you that we have a Heavenly Father who's willing to forgive us. Father, I just pray that when we leave here today, we will have learned something about you today. That God, more important to you than rules or people. In Jesus' name.